I'm Jessica Misson, and today I'll be interviewing my dad, Stephen Misson, and we're going to be talking about all the differences in computers, technology, coding applications, and more in my generation versus my dad's generation. How did you first encounter computers, and what were your first impressions / memories of them?
My first recollection of a personal computer was called a Commodore 64. My friend had one in school. I was probably in grade school at the time. It would have been early 80s. So we played games on it. We were able to create a few programs with it. And then later on, my first experience hands-on would have been grade school. So the first computers that we had in school were Apple IIe's. So they were fixed units with the monitor and keyboard as one unit, and it was a course-driven study program, so you got to learn about the hardware, and simultaneously you learned about coding. The only programming language at the time was called BASIC, so we went through a course study using that language, and that was my first interaction. I was immediately drawn to it. I did very well with it. Thought that was really neat. So we had probably about 30 total in the school at the time.
So do you remember when the internet already a thing when you were in grade school growing up?
A little bit later, not in grade school. It's probably my early years in high school. So it wasn't the internet as we know it today. The earliest years of the internet, what I would consider, it's called BBS. Bulletin board system, so essentially like message boards. So one thing that's way different today than it was back then were the use of modems and baud rate. So we were very limited on the way that data transfers compared to today. So we were limited by analog signal that was transferred through a modem. So you had to modulate an analog signal. Which is, the word modem comes from modulate and demodulate, in short for modem. The early modems were only like 5600, and then through the 90s they gradually got up to 56,000, which is the limitation of a phone line. So throughout the 90s they gradually got better, which allowed some internet service providers to allow higher access speeds. So the first internet service providers were AOL, Prodigy, and that allowed a group of people to connect together and form chat groups and have a web page and a much better user interface. But before that, was essentially message boards. But the speeds were very, very slow. Download speeds were nothing like today. It would take literally hours to download one picture early on, in the late 80s, early 90s.
So what were these programs you were using in grade school connected to, that you were learning about the hardware?
There was no connection. They were just standalone computers. They weren't connected to the internet.
What were the most significant technological advancements or innovations during your time that shaped your understanding of computers?
So a couple things, really. I think I remember specifically waiting for Windows 95. So I graduated in 1996, but up until that point, we were using DOS-based computers, the Apple IIe's, a couple other versions of Pentium processors. But we make fun of it now with Windows, and you know, we have memes about Windows 95 and how slow it was and how archaic it is. But that was one thing that was eagerly anticipated, because it was a whole different operating system. So Microsoft was really marketing heavy on this totally brand new system. So I couldn't wait to get my hands on Windows 95. To study it and see how it worked. It was totally different. So I couldn't wait for that. The other thing that really changed the game was with internet access was DSL, so digital subscriber links. which allowed for high-speed internet access, or much higher speeds than we're used to, and cable modems. So in the 90s, that came along. So before that, you're stuck with dial-up modems. They were loud, noisy, and slow. But somewhere in the 90s, DSL and cable modems came about, which kind of changed the game. So you could download and upload much faster. So that was kind of like a game changer as far as the internet. So it allowed you to, you know, access the internet much faster, download movies, make it more streamable. Nothing like today, but it did change the game in a lot of ways.
So how accessible were computers and technology back then, and were there any barriers to entry or widespread use?
I would say overall they weren't very accessible at all. I think my school is probably very unique in having a computer lab. It was probably one of the first schools in the area. We had probably about 30 computers in one classroom in grade school. In high school, we had another probably about 30-some. It was very expensive to do that. Back then, memory was an issue. So in order to have a circuit-based training, they were all the course study was on tape drives, which was very, very expensive. You know, in today's world, we have SSD hard drives that, you know, store things with terabytes of information. Back then, it was all tape drives. So memory came at a severe cost. The average family probably did not have a personal computer. I remember begging for one when I was probably 9 or 10. My first computer cost $1,000 from Radio Shack. And that was quite a bit of money back then, back in the late 80s, early 90s, to put it in perspective. So I would say most families at that point probably didn't have one in the late 80s. In the 90s, it became, you know, more popular. So I would say most families probably did have one in the 90s, and they became more mainstream, where computer games really took hold, where most people were PC gaming. That was a mainstay in most families, along with, you know, regular video games. But PC gaming really took hold somewhere in the early 90s, middle 90s.
And were there any barriers? Like, how was the security of internet?
It's nothing like today. So I would say the security is definitely an evolution. I was probably on that side of it, or the other side of the security, so there was definitely some vulnerabilities. SSL encryption wasn't a thing in the early 90s for sure. It's been an evolution like anything else. We take for granted when we turn on a computer that it's secure and there's a firewall. All those things are evolutions. It didn't exist. Antivirus software came out with the PC computer. It was sold as a bundle with Microsoft. So Microsoft changed the game with bundling antivirus software with their PC computers. For a long time, Microsoft dominated the market. Apple was not a thing. Somewhere along the lines, Apple started coming, you know, hand in hand. Then we have today's world where Apple's a huge player, but yeah, security is definitely a risky thing. IPv, SSL, HTTP, all that was evolution over time, for sure.
When were you first introduced to programming languages, and what are your experiences with them?
Well, early on, we played around with it, with the Commodore 64. We just called it BASIC back then. In middle school, it was also BASIC. It was just a DOS prompt, but you could do really cool things with it. Little programs, just basically, you got a prompt, you could do calculations, you could make the little pixels turn on and off. You could, you know, program lights to come on. I remember specifically we had a, you know, our task was to make a Christmas scene with the house and, you know, decorate a Christmas tree. And, you know, you could program it to make, you know, colored lights come on, like a decorated tree. We had a game called the Oregon Trail, which people might remember that. It's kind of like a folklore thing. It was a really cool game. Very pixelated, like 8-bit technology. But for the time, it was a pretty cool game. So that was my first experience with it, but it kind of gets you hooked around what's possible with, you know, programming a binary system, just using, you know, zeros and ones, on or off. So learning that language allows you to, you know, develop your skills. Some people caught on, some people did not. I remember that very, very distinctly. It wasn't everyone's cup of tea. It was new technology. A lot of people, I remember, didn't think it would last. That was the impression when these computers first came out. Even email. I remember making national TV. There's a famous clip of Bryant Gumbel saying, email, like it wasn't going to be around, like no one thought that would catch on, and here we are today. We couldn't do without it, but we went to the stores. Like, everything was still manual. There wasn't computer cash registers, there wasn't touch screen, anything. So we live in a world today with computers, but behind those computers is software. No computer can run without software. So my first experiences with it was very, you know, primitive, but as things evolve, most of these early languages were from science. So the first web page was created out of CERN in Switzerland, where the world's largest, you know, Hadron Collider is. But it was developed in 1991, and that's where the first web page was created. He developed the language HTML in 89. There's, I think, currently 5 versions now, but we started using that in the early 90s. It's a pretty, you know, basic, I would say basic computer language. It's not too difficult, but that was like the first web pages were used or created using HTML. JavaScript was popular, Adobe Flash. There's plugins back in the day, I remember. You had to use that for web pages. And now, of course, you have C++, C++, Python. So a lot of things have evolved, but the basic principles of coding, you know, haven't changed. There's compilers and things to make it a lot easier now. We have AI that can do a lot of these little codes for you. So things have evolved, but at the end of the day, you're always going to need software engineers, people that write these codes for all these programs. So when we turn on our iPhones and you want an application to work, and you just click it and expect it to work, behind the application is a software code. Someone created that. A lot of things that are out there, it might be open source, where it's generic code that someone created that's free, so you can, you know, take it and use it as you wish. It's open source, it's there for everybody, but someone created it, and it all starts back when these languages first evolved, but a lot of them came from the scientific community, including HTML. So, you know, as the years went by, in the 90s, as the internet became more and more popular, but even the search engine like Google, it's a household name. It basically defines the internet. There's not a person out there that has any kind of computer literacy that hasn't heard of Google. In my days, there was no Google. When we first started hooking web pages together, like a thread, it was called Web Crawler. Then there's another one called Lycos. There's another search engine, Yahoo, was popular. Google did not come around until much later in time. but you needed a way to hook all these web pages so you can search them. So as more and more people started creating pages, you needed a way to search them. Much, you know, like the dark web is. That's how the primitive internet was. It was like a bunch of scattered pages without a connection. It's kind of how it was back in the late, you know, the early 90s, I would say. A bunch of boards rather than polished web pages.
Not to say you've ever been on the dark web, of course.
No, never.
No. So, do you remember the first coding project you've ever performed?
I don't remember, if, like, other than, like, high school projects, all that. I remember doing a tile project project for a tile company, or it was a paid project. I did it with a friend where we had to do a basic, you know, whole basic configuration so they could measure tile, do a front-end interface for them, you know, for their register system, their back-end system. But that was the first paid project ever, you know, professional, I would say. But I was still in school. And I also did some software for a stock trading software. I created something like that probably when I was like 17.
So what were other significant technological advancements or innovations during your time?
Well, I think, you know, sometime during the 90s, as soon as we had two things solved with the high-speed data transfer getting better and the internet connection getting faster and memory getting better where we have more storage locally, you saw the birth of streaming services. So the first one was Napster. So it's kind of an afterthought now, but really that was the birth of streaming services. So they were the first ones to do it. It was also the birth of peer-to-peer networking. So essentially what it was is someone could host a file. You could post your file to a central location and share it. There's a lot of controversy about it, you know, now. They got shut down, of course. But you could have any music file you wanted. So if you had a song, you could put your song up, your album, and you could host it, and someone else could download it. So at the time, it was controversial because a lot of artists didn't like that because they wanted you to go and purchase their music from the music store. So a lot of people spoke out against it for copyright infringement and all that, but I can tell you it was extremely popular. And you know, it was definitely a thing. But it was a breakthrough because of the speed, because it still took a long time, but it was possible because of the internet speed and the memory required. But that really was, it paved the way for iTunes. Without Napster, there would be no iTunes, there would be no Netflix. The services that we take for granted right now, that was the first. But just goes to show you how quickly things can change, because no one would ever think that they would close their doors. They're still around in some capacity, but that was probably one of the biggest breakthroughs, you know, that came out of that era. But there was many, many other, you know, companies that were born out of that time from the internet boom. A lot of them didn't survive. I remember, like, the browsers were popular. Netscape, you know, Internet Explorer, a bunch of different browsers, Firefox. How you know, just look at the internet. There was a war over those. Now you just have a couple, whether it's Apple Safari or, you know, Google Chrome. But there was a big war back then on just how you browse the internet. But there's many, many tech companies born out of Silicon Valley. Fortune 500 companies were born during that internet boom. Created, you know, where venture capitalists just put money into these companies and they took off just from that age. So it's quite remarkable, all the, you know, money that came out of that era, just because of that one moment in time that probably can't be recreated again, just because of the technological advancement, like a rush, kind of like the gold rush back in the day, the steel, you know, age. It's another just advancement. Yeah, so as we conclude our podcast here today, I think it's interesting, you know, looking at the different perspectives, you know, for your generation. You grew up with the internet, you've always had it. There's been some advancement every year, for sure, because technology is always going to advance. It moves, you know, light speed sometimes. But you can actually see where I started from, the beginning stages of the internet, and the progression throughout, you know, from everything from bulletin board messages. I got to see the speed increase, which allowed further advancements, the memory storage problem get solved over time, and what companies got to do with those advancements. So we saw so many spin-offs of these companies solve real problems. We saw the rise and fall of internet service providers. So many tech companies come out of that era, and that's what we still continue to see that. So everything's based off of technology and the internet right now. But it's pretty amazing, I think, that, you know, we all have cell phones and we hold them in our hand. They have more computational power in the palm of your hand than the largest computer back in the 60s that could put a space shuttle on the moon. So, pretty impressive.